kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
Normally, I'd be all, I ain't dead, but I kind of feel like I'm almost dead. So I guess I'm fine.
But you're heavily medicated, though.
So. I'm not as heavily medicated as I'd like to be. Can we just be honest here? Like, we're going to end this shit, and I'm going to double up and go the fuck to sleep.
You should double up now and see how long you go into the show.
I mean, it's already going to be pretty questionable. I haven't had the proper medication, so like I have really bad brain fog right now. And just formulating a sentence is like half of my battle for the night.
Well, and also someone else who has trouble forming sentences, Dark Meek is joining us. How are you doing?
I formulate sentences just fine, goddammit.
You formulate sentences, you just don't know how to add punctuation.
It's just how I do things is I just continue the sentences on. I just formulated a bit too well.
Yeah, we'll go with that. So how's everyone doing? How was everybody's week?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, Aki, how was your week?
I had tacos all week, so.
All right.
So, yeah. I want tacos? Shit. Ow.
I love tacos. I usually have tacos for 6 days in a row when I make tacos.
And then and once I'm done with this set of tacos, I'm going to be having enchiladas for fucking another 6 days.
We've been eating Burger King way too much lately.
If I had the money, all I'd eat is fast food.
Like, we have been using that DoorDash service way too much because it is way too convenient, because it is way too hot to go outside and to have someone else actually run to the store and get us food without ever having to leave the house. That's incredible.
But you exit the house to get into a car that is air-conditioned, to go to a place, to get out of a car, to go into a store that is air-conditioned. There's not that much of an issue there.
You know how hot cars are when you first get into them after they've been sitting all day in the sun?
Well, you let it cool off first, you dork. Oh, God.
You don't leave cars just running in my neck of the woods. I don't know about your area. Cole, I know no one lives down by you. The raccoons aren't going to steal your truck, but, well, they might.
They might.
They might.
I mean, I guess I could tell this funny story.
Raccoons stole my truck.
No. We did have a run-in with non-affectionately, apparently, referred to my neighbors as Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Because I fucking hate them. The older one, they're two brothers that live up there. And they used to live with their mother. She passed away. But they're dumb and dumber. And one of them has an adult son. It's like 38 or some shit, right?
Yeah.
He's all time in trouble with the law for drugs. And we were just sitting here. I don't even remember what the fuck I was playing a game, one of my review games. And somebody knocked on the door. And I was like, the fuck's this? I live in the middle of nowhere for a reason. Don't be knocking on my door.
Don't interrupt me during ooblets.
Right? And so I get up and I look out the door and it's there, that scrawny ass, drug ass motherfucker just standing there. No shirt or nothing.
You have a shotgun, right? You used a shotgun, right?
We don't have guns in our house because I'm a bleeding heart liberal right now. And so, like, I cracked the door. I was like, the fuck you want? He's like, you put a password on your internet. Yeah.
What a cocksucker.
Can I get the password?
Wow, the balls no. on them.
You sure as shit cannot.
This begs the question, why did you have it without a password for so long?
That's the funny part, because I put a password on it maybe 5 or 6 years ago after I caught him using it once before. I mean, prior to that, it was like nobody's ever fucking around. Nobody had cell phones up through here that could connect to somebody's Wi-Fi. It was just no big deal. I mean, I lived up here, shit, we've been up here 16 and a half years now. And, like, until he did it about 5 years ago, nobody had ever connected to my Wi-Fi. And so then at that point, I put a password on it. And, yeah, he was just like, he knocked on the door. He's like, can I have your password? Fucking no, you can't. And so, no okay. mask, nothing, just stood there and stared at me. And I was like, you can get the fuck off my porch, right?
Wow.
And he starts walking away mumbling, I don't know why you gotta be such a bitch. I was
like,
oh.
This is why you should have a shotgun, right?
I was
there.
Like, oh, this dude thinks I'm a bitch now. So I sent a message on Facebook to the constable. And I was like, yo, you know, Danny Wayne's got like all these warrants where he was indicted for drug charges in Johnson County, right? He's like, yeah, have you seen him? I'm like, uh-huh. Call me a bitch. So they arrested him and they towed the four-wheeler, which he had stolen from somebody.
Oh, wow.
The four-wheeler he was riding around up here on, he had stolen. And I didn't even know that until, like, the constable sends me a message. He's like, we got him, you're safe. I was like, cool, thanks, bye. Also, you know, don't pay attention to all my defund the police posts. But, yeah, thanks. Fucking knock on my door, wasn't my password. Not around here. Oh, anyway, video games.
Yeah, video games. Should we get to the news?
Yeah, enjoy that story.
I don't think there's going to be anything as funny as that.
Okay. No, getting someone arrested is pretty top-notch.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the peak of this entire podcast. You should have saved that for the end, I think.
My bad.
It's all downhill.
Everyone can go to bed now. Thanks
Karma
for
got
here.
Me for it, because then my truck broke down, so here we are. It happened.
Oh, boy. Everything breaks in your neck of the woods.
You know what's stupid
That's
is I was...
touches it.
Let me tell you what I did, though. I know better. Right? I fucking sat there, and I said, man, we've replaced almost every appliance in this house, except for my washer and my dryer. And I said, the truck is good. We just put new tires on it, so we don't have anything to worry about. So my washer broke down, and then the transmission went out in the truck. And I was like, the fuck did I open my mouth for?
But the dryer's still okay, right?
The dryer's working, and right. We found a washer on the Facebook Marketplace. And the lady had the matching dryer, and she sold us the pair for $200, and we just put the dryer in the garage in case we need it.
I mean, if you have the room, might as well.
I was like, they was like, we could sell it and get some of the money back. I was like, no, we can't either. Put that in the garage. Leave it alone.
What you should do is sell the broken one.
Well, see,
and be like,
there is no broken
is.
One yet.
Yeah,
the dryer's still good.
The dryer's good, but the washer died. It won't even power on.
Well, they don't need to know that. It's selling a yard sale. It's not like you're going to go and hook it up.
We're not legally allowed to have yard sales right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Motherfucker.
Because of the Ronas.
Yes, I forgot.
Human malware.
Human malware. So
we
can't have yard sales. And then, like, this past week, our governor's like, you guys haven't been wearing your mask, and you can't be doing that. And we're all in trouble, and they took bars away from us again. We're grounded as a state for 2 weeks. We were gonna go on a road trip and go to the Smoky Mountains, and then they were like, if you go to any state that has a really high infection rate, then you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And I've got an important doctor's appointment coming up because they're going to make me a cyborg.
Awesome.
Nice.
And yeah, they're going to like implant some kind of, like, it's like a TENS unit, but they implant it and it's going to go straight into my spine and go, and yeah, so I get to be a cyborg, but it's going to be awesome. But yeah, I can't miss that. If I have to quarantine for 2 weeks, I'd miss my appointment. Yeah. I can't do that. So we had to cancel our trip to the Smokies because nobody around here knows how to wear a fucking mask.
Yeah, people
Another
are stupid.
Another reason you should have a shotgun.
Great.
You just keep bringing up more reasons why you should have a shotgun.
Wear your mask so that I can go to my cyborg appointment.
Yeah, as of Monday, my state finally said, hey, yeah, you are required to wear masks. It is now. You have to wear them everywhere. I'm like, oh, yeah. Good. Maybe dumbasses will stay away from me and wear a mask. See, only good things has happened for me since COVID started. I'm like the only person on the planet where only good has happened.
So long as you don't get the Rona, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I got the hiccups. Yeah, it's, people are dumb.
Yeah, breaking coronavirus news. Herman Cain died because of it. Someone who was outspoken against masks and thought the virus was a joke died because of the virus.
Yep, I heard that this morning. I feel bad for his family. Yeah. One, because he existed, and two, because he died. Because, you know, that's sad. But he was a dumbass. I mean, it is what it is. He did a dumbass thing, and dumbass catches up to you eventually. It's a shame, but you know, it happens.
Then you have to wonder, is it really going to, make a difference? Are people going to take it seriously that somebody so prominent? I know. I like to be optimistic, Joe. Can you let me finish my optimism before you piss on my parade?
No.
We don't have time for that shit. If everyone stayed inside their house and didn't go anywhere for 3 weeks, the virus would have died. The fact that it still exists tells me that the optimism is worthless. People are stupid. I hate.
So yeah, should we get to news?
Yeah,
I guess.
Because there,
now
there
that
was
we've
a-
pissed all over Cole's head. Yes, we might as well.
There was a decent chunk of news this week. Some big stuff to talk about. PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold were announced for August. And PlayStation Plus is just destroying the shit out of Xbox this month.
Yeah. But we have Game Pass.
Yeah, we do have Game Pass. We do have Game Pass, which we'll get to eventually. But Games with Gold, we'll start with Games with Gold. The backward compatible stuff, I'm not even going to say the Xbox 360 stuff, because they're both original Xbox games. Mm-hmm. August 1st through the 15th is MX Unleashed, and the 16th through the 31st is Red Faction 2.
Oh, did you also see that Psychonauts was free as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but apparently that stopped being free. I don't know if it was a glitch or...
I managed to grab it.
I already owned it, so...
I got it. I've never played the game.
Well, now you can play it.
Yeah.
And then on the Xbox One side of things, the entire month of August is the game Portal Knights, which is a decent game, enjoyable, fun romp. And then August 16th through September 15th is Override Mech City Brawl.
I don't even know what that is.
Which, it's like robot fighting game. It's an okay game. GameStop literally just had it on a deal of the day for $7.99.
You know what would have been funny if you'd been like, dumbass, you reviewed that.
I don't remember who did.
It's entirely possible.
The real question is, are these two games easy 1Ks?
I don't know.
Portal Knights probably is. I think I remember Shiz 1King Portal Knights.
Maybe.
So yeah, I think if you can like get a couple people, because it has online.
Yeah.
And if you can get a couple people with you, you can knock it out pretty quickly. If I remember, it's one of those instances of when one person in an online group gets an achievement, all of them get it. And so
I need to harass you. Is what you're telling me. Okay.
I mean, that's Carnage says Portal Knights added DLC and achievements, premium DLC.
Oh, Jacob chiming in. Royal and Purnell reviewed Mech City. Wow.
Jacob actually being useful. What the fuck is this week?
It's amazing.
Girls are going to enjoy Portal Knights, so I'm not mad about it. But
that is the very lackluster Games with Gold lineup. PlayStation Plus, though, is pretty sweet. They have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Campaign Remastered.
Never mind, I'm mad now.
And Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
Yeah.
Which is that new Devolver game that Dawn was talking about on the last episode. Which, by the way, I love Jacob was messaging me. He's like, so this Dawn guy, he's just all over the place, isn't he?
What do you guys talk about? Everything.
Literally everything. Someone asked how the show was. I was like, it was a 3-hour interview in 90 minutes.
Yeah. It was so fast.
I loved it. It was so good. I love Dawn.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
I didn't understand half of what he said.
That's one of those, like, when you, if you go to YouTube to listen to the video, slow it down.
Yeah, use the speed adjustment thing to just slow it down.
Because otherwise you ain't catching that conversation. I was there for it and I don't remember it.
I know he had a couple rants and that's all I remember was he had a couple rants.
Uh-huh. But yeah, PlayStation Plus. Oh man, what a lineup! It's a good month.
I will say, I hope that Fall Guys being free helps it out, because I know I was watching somebody else stream it the other day, and they sat for like an hour and never found a game. So I do. I mean, it was beta and everything, so I hope it being free helps it out.
Well, I don't know when they had an event recently. They're going to have one, I believe, this weekend. They're having, I don't know if it's a closed or open beta, but they're going to have some kind of beta event this weekend. And then the servers are going to be down until it launches on Tuesday. So, like, we're not even getting an early copy of the game to review early. We have to wait until launch day. Yeah, Doc is saying that he never had problems getting into a match. So they must have been playing it when there wasn't a testing period.
I mean, it was during the recent beta thing that they did. Because I know I saw other people getting in fine, but I think it may have been one of those cases of, like, they play in an odd hour like I do.
Maybe.
Because obviously me watching means it's not a weird-ass hour, because that's how I roll.
Yeah.
So I just kind of assumed that's implied, that it's a wild hour.
No.
If I'm involved.
Well, Doc's saying that he hasn't, and he's never had a problem getting into a match, so I'm... Hopefully everything works out. I think being on PlayStation Plus is going to be huge for the game. Yeah. I think this is going to turn into like the 2020 Rocket League, honestly.
Wow.
I think Fall Guys is going to blow up. I really do. And I haven't even played it yet, so I can't comment on the gameplay. It seems like it's going to be a really popular online game, and I think being free on Plus is going to help it so much.
Well, that's how Rocket League got started. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a solid launch method for sure. So
yeah, and then maybe in a year we'll see it jump to other platforms, or who knows. I hope it jumps to other platforms and have crossplay with everybody. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be good. Sorry, I had to hiccup.
Let it fly on the air. Anyway, you mentioned Game Pass. There were a bunch of Game Pass additions just this week we got. We got the games Grounded on Game Preview, Nowhere Prophet, The Tourist, F1 2019, and Yakuza Kiwami 2. And all of those, but F1, are launches direct to Game Pass.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think it's incredible the way the Yakuza games have just dropped to Game Pass. It's been one a month, has it not?
Yakuza? There was one in, like... It hasn't been one a month. It's been like every 3 months or so.
Is it that far apart?
Yeah.
Worth it, though. They are fantastic.
I swear, I feel like it's all she's has streamed for just months on end at this point.
He probably has. I mean, yeah, maybe. Long fucking games. He's
very into it.
Well, even if you aren't, I think I put like 80 hours into the first one. I still haven't even gotten halfway through the actual main levels of the game.
The thing I love the most is that even though they're brand new releases, they still get a 20% discount on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And most new releases don't get a discount on Game Pass. You usually have to wait like 3 months before you get a discount. But 20% on launch. Yeah, I bought it.
Nice.
Got to support it. But there are a few games that are leaving Game Pass soon. Just a reminder... Rime, Banner Saga 3, F1 2018, and Ash's Cricket are all going to be leaving Game Pass end of the month, I believe.
Not Cricket!
Yep, Ash's Cricket is gone.
I need to go get my completion in Rime. I don't...
Rime is quick. You can beat that in a day. What
well,
the hell?
I mean, I played it, but I didn't do the achievements for it. And I have it on, like, my review accounts, but not on my account. And I'd rather just, like, knock it out and complete it and be done with it. I need to remember to do that. Shit, is it on PC, too?
Yes. It's on Steam.
Yeah? No, I mean, on Game Pass for PC.
I think it is, but I'm not sure.
That real quick. That's what I'm going to fucking do. I'm going to type it in right now.
Yeah, you can do it. Chop, chop. Get us some answers.
Oh, it's searching, which means probably not, or it would have popped up already. Oh, no, Rime. Windows Edition included with Game Pass. Right there. Yeah.
There you go. Install. Pull it twice.
Oh, I can't do it right now. But
do the achievements stack?
If it's got achievements, then yeah, they'll stack. If it's... If it says Windows Edition versus just saying Rime, you can scroll down and it'll tell you.
Huh, interesting. I always thought that Windows versions of the games were, the achievement lists were just tied together.
Like,
some of them are, some aren't.
Yeah, if it's a Play Anywhere title, it'll be tied together. But if it's not Play Anywhere, if you buy it separately... then they usually have stack lists. Sometimes there won't be an achievement list for a Windows 10 game, too. No. I think... What was it come out recently? Shit.
You know what genre it was?
Well, bite me. But there was something I played recently that had a Windows 10 version that didn't have... a separate achievement list, didn't have achievements at all on the Windows 10 version.
Carnage is saying CrossCode on Game Pass PC does not have achievements, for example.
Still worth playing it in both places.
It wasn't the one I played, but it does count. But yeah, it's there's always the potential for there to be achievements. And then when there are, it'll actually show you down at the bottom. It tracks in your app. Have for it on the Windows version.
Interesting.
Yeah. I need to go download some shit. Yeah. I need to check out Nowhere Profit.
I've never even heard of that one, so I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Something else that you'll have to look up coming to Xbox Game Pass for PC later on this year, Disgaea 4 Complete Plus was announced for the PC for Steam and Game Pass. So maybe this will lead to Disgaea finally coming to Xbox consoles. We could cross our fingers.
What is Disgaea?
It's a strategy series on PlayStation and Switch. It's from NIS.
Damn hiccups. Interesting. Yeah. No, I'm not familiar with it, but I always hope for more games. So
yeah, it's coming to Xbox Game Pass for PC and Steam, and fingers crossed. Let's see if NIS gets on the Xbox train. That would be pretty awesome.
Do it.
Speaking of things jumping off the Xbox train, Cuphead made the jump to PlayStation 4 this week.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
I mean, we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
It just means a lot more people get pissed off. I'm fine with that.
We all know how I feel about exclusivity, so I'm like, yeah, enjoy your game. Have fun.
There are so many people on Reddit who are so pissed off about this. It's hilarious.
I don't get it.
They're morons.
Yeah, they are morons.
I don't get... I mean, I'm sitting here counting down the days to Horizon Zero Dawn on my PC, so I don't get it.
I can't wait for that. My computer can't even fucking play it. I want that game so bad anyways.
I already pre-ordered it, and every day I load up Steam, and it says soon over the banner, and I'm like, gimme.
Yeah, I'll probably buy it before I get a new computer, just because I've bought games that my computer can't play before. I've done it numerous times before.
Doc Havoc saying, why are they pissed Cuphead is going to PlayStation? Because fanboys are stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There are dumbasses on
There's
all
no reason
systems.
To buy an Xbox now.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't get it on Switch.
Well, I mean, legitimately, in the whole concept of the console wars, Sony has it at this point because Microsoft doesn't care. Xbox doesn't care about the concept of a console war. They care about the subscription, about Game Pass. They're like, if we can get Game Pass on the fucking PlayStation, you can buy the fucking PlayStation all you fucking want. They don't give a shit. They just want you buying Game Pass because that makes them so much more money. Because systems, you don't make anything off of those. Usually, you're taking a hit that takes millions of consoles being sold in order to come out of debt from them fucking things. Last generation was the only one where they made a profit, and it was just barely a fucking profit. It was like within $50, and that's it for each console. So they care about selling games, and Microsoft's just like, just pay for our services so we get money and we don't lose anything. We're cool with that.
Yeah, Sony, you subscribe, it's guaranteed income. If you're just buying the games, it's hit or miss. You might get some money, you might not.
Yep. Sony's the only one who's like, you must buy our console.
Well, Nintendo's like, you must buy our console, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Switch. I don't think anyone really cares about that.
I do. Yeah, I love my Switch.
Ian says, when Nintendo jumps on the cross-platform wagon before you, you know you have a problem. Mm-hmm. It's
That's true.
Yeah.
Nintendo has a very long history of playing the long game. They're very good at it. And Microsoft is not full of dummies. And they go, that worked out for Nintendo. Fuck it, it'll work out for us. And you know what? So far, it looks like they're not wrong at it.
Well, Nintendo legitimately can't fail either. They are... Nintendo legitimately can't fail at this point. They're not just a video game manufacturer. They're not a producer and a developer of games and consoles. They have their fingers in so many pies. It's insane. They literally cannot fail at this point.
I think Nintendo has so much money banked that they could lose money for years on end and still be okay.
Which is an interesting concept, because that's why you get wilder consoles out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Xbox and PlayStation both tend to err on the side of conventional, whereas
Nintendo takes genuine risks.
Look at the Wii U, look at the Switch, and they're like, fuck it, let's try it, you know? And they can afford to do that. They can afford to fuck around with the market like that. Because they're sitting on mountains of cash.
Yeah, as excited as I am for the Series X, I think it's actually a step back in some regards because of the loss of HDMI in.
I am really surprised that they did that.
I'm pissed that they did it. I thought the Series X would replace my Xbox One, but it's not. It's just going to be a separate console on the side.
I actually use the HDMI in, number one does as well. Like, when we move the Switch around to different TVs, we'll just hook it into the HDMI in and use it. So if they want to play in here on the big TV, then they just go through my Xbox. And if they want to play on their sister's TV, they go through the Xbox. And then on their TV, it's just they plug it in there and it's fine, because it's the only console. But
I mean, we use it for the actual purpose, like TV.
Well, so, we don't have cable.
Yeah.
We stream.
I'm just saying, like, we use it for the purpose that it was intended, and the fact that they're stripping that away from us with the Series X is a huge bummer to me.
That is an instance of listening to the fanboys and it biting you in the ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get why they do it. I get why they want to cater to that hardcore.
We want to focus on games and.
But what? It does. I mean, there's. The benefit that a Nintendo has that Xbox and PlayStation both avoid is that anybody can pick it up and play it. Anybody. You don't have to ever have seen a Switch to know how to pick it up and turn it on and play it. Right? My sister hasn't played a video game since the Super Nintendo. She bought a Switch and she's super into Animal Crossing. Okay? And it's like, She didn't need to know. I've been trying to sell her on an Xbox for years. She won't have it. But she bought a Switch on her own accord.
Nice.
You know, so I mean, I can understand catering to the hardcore crowd, but I think it really sets them back more ways than they realize. I use my Xbox for for more than just games. We watch movies on it. We, you know, we don't use the browser aspect because who the fuck uses Edge?
I use the browser on it occasionally.
Garbage pants, Aki.
Sometimes I don't have my computer on hand. Sometimes it has someone else's house. Hey,
when you're desperate, you use what you can.
Yep. And I have to keep track of the achievements in games somehow. with fucking solutions on how to get them.
That is a neat trick, by the way, that you can just go in and it takes you straight to TA solution.
I go to Xbox achievements.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know many people who still use Xbox achievements over TA.
I like being able to checkmark which achievements I have.
TA does it automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like doing it myself, though. I don't know. I've always preferred that one for the actual achievement lists. I prefer TA for getting boosting groups together. But everything else, I prefer Xbox achievements for myself, personally. It's probably all because of the manual stuff. I like doing things manually. I'm weird, I know.
Whatever. There is some more news. Private Division has signed publishing deals with three developers. League of Geeks, the creators of Armello. Roll7, the creators of Ali Ali. And this one surprised me. Moon Studios, the creators of Ori. So it looks like Moon Studios is also going to be leaving the umbrella of Microsoft.
Wait, who'd they sign on with?
Private Division, 2K. And really? A shout out, Iron Fist of Snuff just subscribed on Twitch. CJ, how the hell are you doing? Thank you for the subscription.
Fucking yeah!
So yeah, Private Division.
Huh. There was something, I forget what it even was, but when they were showing Ori during the game showcase, I looked over at D and I was like, they're just going to gobble them up any day now. I've just been waiting for it. So I guess that's not happening.
Yeah, Moon Studios, apparently they want to stay independent. They want to expand. And, you know, if their games are going to hit more platforms, that's awesome. Ori is a Microsoft IP, so we don't have to worry about Ori jumping over to other platforms if Microsoft doesn't want it to happen, like on the Switch.
I mean, I don't care if it does. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't just scoop them up.
I think they tried many times. I think I'm Moon is just like, no, we want to stay independent, and now they're signing with Private Division. Yeah. Last bit of news I have is that after less than a month, EA's Rocket Arena is joining the EA Access Vault.
Boy.
Less than a month.
Do you remember what I said to you when we were talking about it not loading?
No.
I told Joe that it was going to get Darwin projected.
Ooh.
And I am very concerned. It is going to get Darwin projected.
Yeah, this is not a good sign for the game. Maybe this will turn it around. Maybe, you know, I said from the beginning it should have launched to the vault. I feel bad for the people who dropped $40 on this game at launch.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope EA does something for the people who invested in this game and believed in it early. I somewhat invested in it early because I picked up the Mythic Edition from Walmart for $10.
Oh my goodness.
But I got the Mythic Edition DLC content, which I believe is valued at $10 anyway.
CJ said it's already $10 on Target. Somebody had it for $504 recently.
Nah.
So yeah, it's...
So it's joining the vault, and... hopefully this bumps the player base. It's not a bad game. I had fun with it. Did you ever figure out what was wrong?
I still can't get it to launch, and they haven't responded to my ticket either. So.
Out of the B.
Yeah, I've got nothing. But
I don't know, but that's the news I have. Anything either of y'all want to talk about, or should we jump into the reviews?
Nah, let's go with it.
Review time.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Destroy All Humans, developed by Black Forest Games, published by THQ Nordic, released July 28th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. The cult classic returns, terrorize the people of 1950s Earth in the role of evil alien Crypto 137, harvest their DNA and bring down the U.S. government in the faithful remake of the legendary alien invasion action adventure, annihilate puny humans using an assortment of alien weaponry and psychic abilities, reduce their cities to rubble with your flying saucer, one giant step on mankind. Cole, tell us about Destroy All Humans.
So, Destroy All Humans is a remaster of a 2005 game by the same title, and I just want to throw out there they did a fucking incredible job with this remaster. I didn't play the original game.
I want to know, is this a remaster or a full-on remake? Because this feels like a full-on remake to me.
Maybe.
At least but visually, it's like about rebuilt from ground up.
I'll get to something in a second that leads me to the remaster versus remake. But I want to say from a visual standpoint alone, it's fucking incredible. The detail on Crypto's spacesuit and the details in the environment and all that is really, really good. I do have one beef. It suits the aesthetic of the game, but all the people look like they're wax model caricatures, and I can't really put up my finger on why it bugs me. I think it's because everything else looks so realistic and believable as a world, and then the people just look like wax figures walking around. I think because they're such over exaggerated caricatures and they just feel a little out of place in the world itself. But they're fine. You get used to it. You play as Crypto 136, or I'm sorry, 137.
Yep.
Got my notes mixed up here. You play as Crypto 137, and he has been sent to Earth to find his clone sibling, who was Crypto 136, after they crash landed. So you're, as far as the gameplay goes, once you're on Earth and everything, you're in control of Crypto. He has an arsenal of abilities that just gets bigger the more you play. And you're basically in what I would call a chaos simulator. Like, the whole point is just to just fuck shit up. And yet there are times when it's not. If I had to bitch, other than the waxy people, if I had to bitch about anything with the game, it would be that they put in these stealth moments where you can just ruin a whole mission because you get spotted. And when you're in this, I'm going to use the term semi-open world. It's not entirely like an open world where you go from area to area. You have maps and you have to load the missions. But when you're in them, you can explore them like they're an open world. When you've got this big explorable environment, there's so many different ways to interact, and you've got all these bags of tricks, but you can't go anywhere or you get spotted, or you have to stay to the rooftops. One of the missions is like has a side quest where it's like, don't touch the ground. And you're like, the fuck? Why are you limiting me? You give me the sandbox of destruction and then it's limited.
Yeah.
You know?
I like some of the bonus things. Like early in the game, there's a bonus mission to kill someone with a chicken.
Yeah. I like that. I did get, I did really enjoy that kind of stuff. There's another one where, like, there's this conspiracy theorist and you have to throw them in the ocean as a side quest. You can just kill them the good old-fashioned way, or you can throw them in the ocean. So which one are you going to fucking do?
Yeah.
And in some ways, those are really cool because they give you unique ideas for, like, how to interact with the world. And you know, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, I'm just gonna go throw this guy in the pool when you've got a gun and you can shoot them. But the side quests do give you that moment of, hey, did you know you could do that though? And that helps. But when they're limiting, I get more annoyed with them. That may just be a personal thing, but I just like, just let me fucking touch the ground without being penalized. I wouldn't care so much if, like, the game very much wants you to do all those side quests to the point that there's achievements for it. And so then at that point, you're just like, well, now I feel penalized, you know, if I play it my way. I will say the game was made in 2005, right? The original?
Yeah.
And this is where I get on the it's a remaster, not a remake train, because it very much stayed true to its source material. And not all the jokes land the same 15 years later. There were a couple times where you're like, you didn't really have to stick with that one, you know? Maybe that's just me being the sensitive, bleeding heart liberal I am.
I think it's more of a fact that they used the original script in the original voiceovers.
Yeah.
And rewriting things would take a lot more work.
I'm sure of it. But it just feels off, you know? And it doesn't hit the same. And it's not to, like, an ultimate detriment where I'd be like, don't play this because it's got bad jokes. It's just like, well, you see it and you go, okay, it's a remake or a remaster, you know?
No.
And then you go on and it's fine. It's not anything that I would be like, cancel, destroy all humans. No, fuck that. But, you know, take it with a grain of salt. That not all the jokes are going to land the same as they did 15 years ago. But even with having jokes that don't quite land the same, I was still like finding unapologetic joy when I was running around just creating chaos in these missions. You mentioned killing the lady with the chicken. There's a whole like radioactive zombie cow mission, and like you're flinging them around and blowing shit up. I'm sorry, flinging cows around is hilarious. I don't care. Who you are, or what you do with your life, but when you're flinging around cows and you're blowing up circus with your spaceship and you're stealing brains with an anal probe, there's an element where you're just like, it's funny, and I enjoy it, and so that's why I'm like, yeah, you have to acknowledge that the humor's not quite as on point as it used to be. And that's okay. But you can still appreciate it and have fun with it. One other thing that I want to complain about, though, since I'm on the complain train, is there's a couple of multi-phase bosses. One in particular, I'm trying to do this without being spoilery, one in particular has an attack you can't avoid.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
There are no checkpoints between these phases. None. So, if you get to the very end of the third phase of the final boss and you die, you're starting all the way back all over with all his health bars and get fucked. From an accessibility standpoint, at the very least, that's problematic.
Yeah.
I'm already fatigued by the time I've hit the third the third phase. You could have at least gave me a checkpoint. you know, but that's, again, that's something that's a me thing. And I know there's plenty of people who aren't bothered by things like that. But if I'm going to speak about the game and my experience with it, that was something where I was like, I really would have killed for a checkpoint.
No.
I've said it a million times on this show. Boss checkpoints are important. And especially when you have multi-phase bosses. So, beyond all that, though, I mean, the visual improvements and everything, I still had a good time with it. I could easily just find myself being like, I'm just going to go blow shit up for a little bit.
Yeah, I picked it up and I'm having a blast with it. I played the original on PlayStation 2-3 years ago when they just re-released it in HD with trophies. And it's the same game through and through. It's just, it looks gorgeous. It is an absolute stunning remake visually.
Yeah. I have a question for the two of you then. I saw achievements for 3-starring things. Are those difficult? I don't know if they're challenges.
Those are the side challenges. So like I said, that one has like, don't touch the ground, you know?
Yeah. So it can be tough to get all.
Yeah. Some of them are harder. A lot of them are pretty mundane, like, oh, blow up 4 police cars. And you can do the missions over.
Yeah.
So if you fuck it up, you can go back. And there's actually an
achievement for replaying a mission.
Yeah. So if you fuck it up, you can go back and do it again and get a better score. So at least there's that. But it is something to, you know, some of them can be pretty difficult. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, 40 bucks, your verdict on it?
I'm gonna roll with a buy it. I think they did a really good job. And like I said, they stuck with the source material, and there's plenty of people who are gonna jump for joy at that. And then, you know, if you're a little iffy on the humor, I think you can still have fun with it. I did. You know, when I'd see a joke that didn't land around, I'd be like, yeah, that's 2005. And I go on and shoot shit. You know? So it was, I think it plays out okay. I think they did a really good job with the remaster.
Awesome. I think if the Amalur remake is half as good as this is, I'm going to really enjoy it.
I think it's a good sign. Yeah.
Yeah. THQ's taking these remakes and remasters seriously.
They really are.
Good stuff. Aki, any questions?
I just can't wait for Kingdoms of Amalur to come out. You brought it up. I'm just like, oh, I want that game so bad. I hope people actually pick it up this time and it gets the recognition it fucking deserves. Because I want another one.
Me too. But next game to talk about is called Hellpoint, developed by Cradle Games, published by Tiny Build, released July 30th on Xbox One and PC for $34.99, coming soon to Switch and PS4 as well. Hellpoint is an intense action RPG taking place on Irid Nova, a derelict space station soaked in an intoxicating dark sci-fi atmosphere. Fight dreadful creatures, face the cosmic gods, and unravel their twisted story. Should the challenge be too great, play with a friend in local or online co-op. Aki, tell us about Hellpoint.
Okay, they say action RPG. Want to know what this really is? This is Dark Souls in fucking space. That's what. And I'm not saying it's Dark Souls like. It's fucking Dark Souls in space. That's what it legitimately is. From all your equipment as you equip it, it takes away some of your mobility, making you move slower, making you dodge less, heavier weapons swing significantly slower, which is really interesting. Not every game does that, and I like when they do. And it's a pain in the ass. A big, massive pain in the ass to play. It's very, very, very fucking hard. You find breaches to save, kind of like, you know, you'd find campfires in Dark Souls. If you die, you lose all your experience, like you do in Dark Souls, and then you have to go fucking fetch it again. But unlike Dark Souls, they're like, hey, you know, we punished you by making you lose all your experience to this enemy that you clearly sucked at killing, so why don't we just sprinkle a little more fuck you on top of it, and they create a ghost of your character with all the equipment they had when they died, and it's going to be where you died. So not only are you going to have to fight the enemy that killed you the first time, you also have to fight a ghost that, quite frankly, plays, well, if you're anything like me, plays much better than you do. So now you're not only having to kill the thing that killed you, you have to kill another thing that's better than you. It's like, you motherfucker. Thankfully, I've gotten to the point where, because I'm stupid, I'm like, you know, I'm going to make this game as hard as I can on myself, so I'm not going to raise my health. I'm going to raise my other stats. So at this point, I can actually kill my ghost without too much trouble, because it only takes a few hits.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I am the squishiest fuck that ever existed.
Glass cannon.
Yeah, except for I'm not much of a cannon either yet. Yeah, you get a bunch of different classes of weapon, and each grouping goes to a different type of weapon. So knives and the like are for reflex, then heavy shit like my go-to weapon, a giant chunk of a fucking pillar, as you guess, probably doesn't rely on reflex. It relies on something else. Can you guess what it is, Joe?
No clue.
Well, it's strength. Crazy. Then there's
what?
I know, right? And then there's cognition or cognitive, something like that, and that's for, I believe, guns. And then there was another one, foresight, which I believe is for magic. I might have those flipped around. I can't quite remember, because who the fuck uses that shit? Because one of them rely one re- most of your weapons rely on your stamina meter, which refills itself. Guns, however, decide they're going to rely on your magic. I don't know how it refills, so I don't use those. Because after I fire a few shots, it feels like I can never shoot again until after I've died. I'm like, no, I have other things to do, like kill things, not die because I'm out of fucking bullets. The combat feels really nice when you're winning. When you're not, it feels like bullshit. It doesn't really feel like it's on you. It feels like the game has just decided to say fuck you and is just trying to bitch slap you all day. A good example of this, I was right at the beginning of the game, very, very beginning. You're able to get to the first boss in, let's say, maybe 15 minutes. There are two enemies in the area where the boss is before you actually reach the boss that I couldn't beat until well after I had killed the boss. And the boss only took me two tries to kill it.
Wow.
Those enemies, I've died to them dozens. I've still died to them. I've beaten like three or four bosses now. I still die to them occasionally. I'm like, you fucking cocksuckers. And the problem with it is most of the enemies that aren't bosses, because bosses are their own can of worms. So let's focus on normal enemies. They're, you know, these shambling people that I assume are people. Maybe they're zombies. I'm not really sure, because the story is also kind of like Dark Souls. You need a fucking Wikipedia and like 500 hours of research. But they're mostly zombie-esque, more or less. So they're slow, and you know, you might meet different types. Like some of them, they don't have weapons, they don't have armor, they're just swinging at you. Others have, you know, pipes that they call axes. Others have heavier club-like weapons. Some have clubs and shields and armor. Some have whips later on, etc., etc. They're like you. You can beat them, but then you get to these two enemies that are before the boss, and they're about twice your height. They carry this big fuck-off shield that you can't break through the defenses of until much later, and they're able to attack in a 360-degree range. Their weapon is twice as long as yours is. They're so hard to beat. I mean, that's it's not like, oh, you got to get a little better to do. It's like, no, they can attack you at twice the range. You can attack them. They're faster than you. They're stronger than you. If they put their shield up, which is always up unless they're attacking you, you can't hurt them. It's like, no, that's just you giving me the finger. That's not cool. That sucks. And then after you die to them each and every time, you also get your fucking character as a ghost that's gonna butt fuck you a little more. It's like, no.
Yeah, but way with words, Aki.
I know. I know. I am vulgar as shit. I know. Sorry, Mom, because God knows you might listen to this for some reason.
Sorry, Tiny Build.
It's like, but when the combat is going your way, it feels great. The boss fights, sometimes some of the things that they do feel a little cheap. For instance, I think it was the last boss fight I fought, there were two big enemies, and they were just really hard to deal with. But you can cheese it by getting one enemy to fight you at a time. And then at that point, it was like, this feels good again. And, you know, the last place I visited had lots of the bosses you fought up to that point as just standard enemies. And then I ran away like a little bitch because I'm a little bitch.
Hellpoint is not an easy game.
No. Oh, God, no. No, this is Dark Souls through and through. Even down to the look of it, like, it's all really dark. The stuff you equip looks like medieval armor, kind of, and old robes and stuff, like you'd expect mages and shit to wear. So it's very Dark Souls looking. They had a ton of inspiration. The story, I can't really comment much on it because the whole point of the game is you were created, you know nothing, you have to go figure out what happened.
No.
And most of the information I found, I don't really understand because I can't put it together because there's just not enough there to understand what's going on. And it hasn't been out long enough for someone to have a Wikipedia for me to spend like 50, 60 hours reading all the stuff to understand the story.
Oh, Jesus.
I have a feeling that's what it's going to end up being, and that makes me sad because I don't like that part. but yeah, I really like the combat when it's not being bullshit, which is most of the time it's fine. It's just occasionally it just flips you the bird for no reason other than fuck off. That's really the only reason. It just suddenly decides unilaterally, fuck you. But, you know, the platforming in it, because you do have to platform a bit, and the exploration are both really, really fun. I love them. That's, like, the favorite part of this game for me is just going around finding shit. Because there's, you know, false walls and stuff. That there's no indication that it's a false wall. You just walk up to it, you push a button, and the wall goes in if it, you know, is a false wall. And then you have a whole new area to explore. Like, I love that shit. That is so fun for me. Platforming, great. Just the combat style is a little bit of a pain in the ass, especially when it decides to flip you the bird for no reason. So, I like it overall. I do enjoy it. The co-op, though...
We couldn't get it to work. We tried. I had a little beacon set up in my area. You tried going to the area I was in. You didn't see it. I gave you my direct code for my game, and you put it in, and it wasn't working. I don't know if it's just because we were playing it pre-launch. That is very possible that that's the reason it wasn't working.
The exact reason, because I did manage... Someone managed to join my game, someone on my friends list, and the game, like, damn near completely froze until he left the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think I told you about that, but he joined. I don't know how he joined, because I didn't give him my code. I didn't have anything set up to request help. He just showed up. It said he was coming in, and then I couldn't move for like 5 minutes, and then he exited, and my assumption was he probably came across the same issue. I joined a game after that, and all the enemies were up, standing up, but were in like death animation, paused in a death animation, like they looked like they were getting cut and they were being flung back or something. And I walked up to the player, and they were just standing there looking around. I don't know if maybe they were in the same situation I was, where the game was frozen until I left, or if maybe they had just AFK'd, assuming no one was ever going to join. And then after me and you tried to get together in it, I found one that was up by the boss, and I actually got in. I helped someone a little bit. The game needs some work on the co-op aspect, because half the time I was attacking, it wasn't registering anything, or I was doing like 10 damage. Again, I was fighting the big creatures that I was complaining about, because I'm actually halfway decent at killing them now. But I was doing like 10 damage, where usually I do like 60 or something, and that's when my attacks were even registering. Sometimes I'd get damaged for no reason, and then when the other person inevitably died because they weren't as high level as me, I'm sure of that. It ended up completely dashboarding the game. It Wow. kicked me out of the game completely. It seemed like I still had all the stuff that I had obtained in their game, because they picked up stuff in the game, and it gave me that stuff as well. Mm. Stuff that I had picked up in my own, and it looked like I still had them when I went back into the game. But I'm not sure if that was from there or from the last area I had gone to.
Yeah.
I sure anymore. But, so they do need to work. They need some patching and stuff for the co-op, because it doesn't work very well right now. There's still a lot of issues, and
no.
I know my internet isn't great, but it's not that fucking bad.
Yeah, and the fact that we couldn't get it to work when we were using the codes directly, just, you know, it's got some work that needs to be done. But $35 on Hellpoint, what do you think of it?
I say wait for a little bit. Wait for some patches to go through. If you really like Dark Souls and you're like, I can do this solo, no issue, then fucking go for it. and when you get stuck, I'm going to laugh at your ass because you're an idiot. But for everyone else, I suggest waiting until they get a patch or two out to get the co-op to work better, because right now it's fucking shambles and it needs a lot of work currently. And I'm hoping they let you lower the difficulty of everything a bit more. There is an option to make the areas stronger or weaker, but they're from objects that are hard to find. I'm hoping they put more of those in the game or something, because right now it's really difficult in some areas. And it's like, from what they do have a wiki up already from people who baited it, and it's like, the highest level on there is like 84. I'm already at 50 something.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I can't, and I'm not even halfway through the fucking game yet. And I am getting my ass beat left, right, and center. Damn. So I need to be able to lower the difficulty a lot. So I suggest waiting a little bit, but I think if this type of game interests you, I think you're really going to like it. I even like it. I just want it to be easier on me so I don't cry tears of blood.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that is it for you. Did you want to stick around or were you going to head out?
I'll stick around. I don't mind harassing Cole some more.
Cole, you ready to keep going?
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Creaks, developed and published by Amanita Design, released July 22nd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. The ground starts shaking, light bulbs are breaking, and something rather unusual is happening right behind the walls of your very room. Equipped with nothing but wit and courage, you slowly descend into a world inhabited by avian folk and seemingly deadly furniture monsters. Cole, tell us about Creaks.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, $20, what do you think?
I have a question already.
Oh, okay.
Is it Creaks as in the creek behind the house, or is the creek like the floor creaks?
Like the floor creaks.
No. Yeah, E-A. Like floor creaks.
Okay.
Creaks. Yeah. So basically you play as an unnamed, mysterious little protagonist dude, and he's just chilling out in his room, and he's reading, as you are wont to do when you are chilling out in your room, and light bulb starts shaking. So he stops it, goes back to reading. Light bulb shakes again. Some of the wallpaper falls off. This gradually escalates until enough of the wallpaper falls down and the light bulb bursts. And you find a secret door behind the wallpaper. When you climb into this door, it leads to a little tunnel, which opens up into this huge, mysterious, incredibly creepy cavern under the house. And this cavern contains what looks like a house that is just, like, imagine the Winchester house that is just huge. The what remains from Edith Finch house on steroids. It's huge and it's convoluted and it's just kind of cobbled together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll explore this house going down ladders, tripping switches, and solving puzzles. And as you do this, you will encounter various creatures that are quite problematic. Anything that touches you is going to kill you, okay? Nice. And it only has to touch you once to do it. The game is thankfully very forgiving with checkpoints.
Which we know is a pet peeve of yours.
Yes, so at least, you know, when things kill you mercilessly, you don't have far to go back to pick up where you were. The puzzles, they tend to break down in what I would describe as a scene. So you typically have an area of the house that you are in that you can see, and it will usually consist of one, two, maybe three floors. The more complicated it gets, the more floors are involved to actually solving the puzzle. But it will basically revolve around moving around in the house and tripping switches and platforms in order to get around the creaks. I'm going to try not to, like, spoil any of the later ones, but I will say the first set that you come across, because it's mentioned in the summary, is, like, a robotic dog. Now, the moment these things see you, they chase you. And if they get close at all, they're going to eat you. And that's just that. And you have to watch your horrible demise in silhouette over and over and over and over. And you're going to die a lot. So the thing that you'll learn pretty quickly, though, is that other things in the environment interact with the creeks in different ways. And you may find that, for example, with the robot dogs, that turning on the light turns them into a nightstand. And so what you'll need to do is catch the dog chasing after you and then hitting a light switch to turn the light on. But you got to be careful when you're moving it around at that point, because if you move it outside of the light, guess what? It turns back into a dog and it's going to eat you, unfortunately. Don't push it too far. then you'll need to, you know, it gets more complicated and switches come into play, and then all kinds of shit just starts happening. And it's hard to talk about it beyond that without being like huge spoiler territory.
Yeah.
Because half of the fun of the game is seeing the way that the creeks and the puzzles evolve. I will say that a lot of times with a game like Creeks, my number one complaint would be that the puzzles feel unintuitive. That's usually what happens, because it's such an odd concept of robot dog turns into furniture.
Yeah.
Right? But Creeks does a really wonderful job of easing you into the puzzles and gradually building up how they change, so that you're never on one for too long without feeling like you can't make some kind of progress. There are walkthroughs and guides out there. If you want to go that route, you can beat the whole game in 2.5 hours. Easy. But I would definitely recommend going into it just blind, because the way that they build up the puzzles and the solutions is one of the most impressive mechanics for puzzle games that I've ever played. It's so easy for them to just like throw you off the deep end with something quirky and be like, haha, it was a weird game. But Creeks is like, no, watch this. This worked last time. What happens if you do this time? And then just building on it. I loved it. I was so interested in just like constantly seeing the way that they changed the mechanic without pushing it over the edge. Aesthetically, this is one of those games that I would call creepy pretty.
Creepy pretty.
Creepy pretty. Because it's really well done, but it's got like this scratchy type of sketch. Like if you'd sat down with a ballpoint pen and just sketched it out, this is what it would look like. But then they've gone in and added colors and everything under the line art as well. So it's as scratchy and unpolished as the line art looks, it still gives it this like movement quality. And so it just makes it feel more unsettling, right? Like, they could have very easily went in and done very careful, crisp artwork, and it would not have had the same effect. And there's just something about the way that they've paired the art and like how it is so unsettling and janky that it gives the whole game that atmosphere. It's really well done, is what I'm trying to say.
Nice. In a creepy, pretty way.
In a creepy, pretty way. Like, there's pretty, and there's creepy, and then there's creepy pretty. And Creeks hits the creepy pretty. It might be the drugs talking.
Just a little.
But no, it's kind of hard to explain. The drugs are why I can't explain it.
Sure.
Because I've used this classification before for artwork, I know.
Yeah, I really like the visual style. I'm looking at screenshots of it. It's...
You get it, though. It's like the jitteriness of the line work and everything just makes it feel unnerving.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really plays it up the atmosphere.
Very hand-scrawled visual style.
Yeah. Like somebody sat on the bus and sketched it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just works. Like a lot of times I'd be like, ah, look at them, how they pet the lines and just work weren't careful with their hatching directions. And normally I would be ripping it to shreds, but with creeks, it flows into that atmosphere and works more.
Nice. Well, overall, $20 on it. What do you think?
I give it a buy. I think at 20 it can be a little more iffy because it is a shorter game. But I think given the quality of the puzzles and just how it's really creative and kind of unusual, that it justifies the price.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is called Banners of Ruin, developed by Monte Beardo, published by Goblin Studio, released July 30th on Steam Early Access for $19.99. Assemble your party, answer the call, win the war. That sounds like one of those mobile phone game commercials, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Assemble your party, answer the call, win the war. Now on mobile, free on iOS and Android. Now, this one is Steam Early Access for $20. Build a deck and fight a series of turn-based combats with up to 6 party characters through the city of Dawn's Point. Each character can unlock a set of unique cards and abilities that can augment your deck in powerful, exciting ways. Cole, tell us about Banners of Ruin.
So, Banners of Ruin has a very intense, high fantasy type of narrative. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
Okay.
I wasn't there for it.
No.
And that's fine. I'm not, it's not bad in any way. It's just that it's just not the kind of narrative that appeals to me. And so it didn't, that's not what sucked me into the game. Now, despite me just being like, yep, that's cutscene, skip. despite that, I want to say that the gameplay absolutely did suck me in. So did the artwork. It's very pretty. It's very simple digital style, but it really fit with everything, and I was super into it. Not quite as like overwhelmingly to describe it for 10 minutes like I did with Creeks, but but here we are. It was pretty, and I don't have any complaints. But for the gameplay, now nobody's going to be surprised to hear, oh, Cole liked the card game. No shit. You hand me a card game, I'm probably going to be like, fuck yeah, this was great. but the way that it plays, I tend to be a little more hesitant to get into card games that like have that Gwent aspect where you've got rows and you have to deal with worrying about where people are in the lane and the strategy side of it. Those tend to put me off a little bit. I like simple. I just want to throw cards at people and watch them die. so it was a little more involved for me to learn how to play Banners of Ruin. And I'm not going to lie. The first 3-4 runs, I was like, I don't think I can fucking do this. It's too complicated and I can't get my head around it. And then somewhere around run 6, it clicked. And then before I knew it, I had a mouse running around with 140 armor taking out bears. And I was like, I don't know what I did to get to this point, but I was even like reaching over nudging D and going, what's this here? Because I had built up my deck so well.
Wow.
And that's just the nature of these roguelike card games. Like, you're going to have runs where it does not matter what the fuck you do. And when you're getting started, especially with one that can be as complicated as Banners of Ruin, Banner of Ruins, I don't know, there's an S in there somewhere. when you're playing one that's this complicated, it can get really overwhelming really quickly. And you're just like, I don't know that I'm ever going to understand it and really learn. But then you just keep pushing at it and just accept, I'm going to lose, going to die. I'll figure it out. Eventually, they just click. Every roguelike I play is like that. I'm probably just dumb. And that's probably why it takes me that route to get
there. I'm not saying it, so.
But there's always like a phase of like, I swear I do 30 runs and I'm like, I don't get it. I can't win anything. And then I'll have one where I'm like, never mind. I'm a god. And then after that, I'm fine. And I had that experience here. So I definitely say, if you are concerned of like, I've never played a card battling roguelike, is this a good one to start? Probably not. Okay? find some, get your feet wet with Pirates Outlaws or something, okay? Because that's a lot easier to start off with. Just Slay the Spire is still on Game Pass. Try that. But if you are good already and you know that you're into this kind of genre, man, this is one of the best ones I've played.
Nice.
I wanted to stream it and I couldn't because it was embargoed and I was so mad.
Well, now the embargo's up and you are free to stream it. So for $20, what do you think of this one?
We know what I'm doing tomorrow. Please buy this game. Please support this game. It's in early access. It's still very clearly got some bugs to work out, but they're doing a fantastic job and they've got a really solid start.
Awesome. I will have to tune in to check out your stream and see how the game is.
You know, it's going to be like 3 a.m. and I'm going to be like, watch this mouse with 140 armor.
Well, speaking of adorable animals, the next game to talk about is called Paws and Soul, developed by Arcuda Inc., published by Games Operators, released July 16th on Steam for $11.99. Paws and Soul, relaxing adventure game about reincarnation. Turn yourself into a wolf, explore mysterious forests, and reveal every secret of your past life. Paul, tell us about Paws and Soul.
I have never been so soaked into a game by its visuals and its soundtrack, and so simultaneously put off by its narrative.
Interesting.
I feel bad for it, because I'm going to be 110% honest here. I am fairly sure that this is the dev's life story. And so when I say what I'm about to say, it's going to sound really mean, okay? And I'm not trying to be mean, but the writing for the game is very cringy. And it's a really big put off. A lot of it just kind of feels shoehorned in. There were times where I was just exacerbated by the pretentiousness of the, or not exacerbated, exasperated. I can't talk, I've had drugs. exasperated by the pretentiousness of the main characters. You play as a wolf who is exploring these different biomes and picking up different stories pertaining to a couple of characters' lives. Now, one character's life just happens. It just is. You just get tidbits of from the moment they're choosing this baby's name until he is grown up and married and having his own life issues. Another character plays out simultaneously, but you have to actively seek out their story. It doesn't happen in tandem. So it's very easy to miss large chunks of this story. As you're exploring the biomes, there are orange orbs and white orbs that you can pick up, which give you life energy. When you do find that second character's stories, you actually get the option of using your life energy to help that character out. I can't find any way when I play that it makes any kind of difference. I don't know if maybe there's a second ending that I just haven't seen yet or what's happened there, but it's just like I've put my energy into it. Okay, now what? You know, I don't know what I'm missing. But again, I think that's made worse by the fact that I've missed chunks of that character's story because I just, You have to find it.
No.
And it's not, there's no waypoints. There's no guidance. It's just good luck, you know, find it if you do, if not, oh well. The other hitch to that is that early in the game, it's very much get the orbs, get from A to B. Somewhere around part way, they decided they wanted to throw in puzzles. And at that point, I was very much like, where the fuck did this come from? None of them are overly difficult. None of them take any great effort to solve. But it was just like, why are you here? There's not been any puzzles this whole time. And then, boom, there's a puzzle. And you're like, why? But yeah, I would have liked a little more cohesion. If there were going to be puzzles, have puzzles throughout. If there were not going to be any puzzles, then it's just you know, an exploratory animal-based walking sim like the first tree, then fine. I did feel very much like I was playing a game similar to the first tree a lot of the time. But again, just without that narrative writing being, then the first tree had its cringe moments too. But Paul's and Soul just really, it just dumps in the cringe bucket.
Yeah, I was watching you stream this one, and like it, I had it on in the background, and I just hear this beautiful soundtrack for the longest time, and then these voiceover clips come in that are like this dad chewing out his son, and it's just it. The voice acting.
I brought you hunting and you want to go play video games, you know? And it's
yeah,
like,
I didn't think the voice acting was very on point.
It didn't help.
No.
And that's okay. I mean, in a lot of situations, I'd be like, well, the voice acting and the narrative are kind of iffy. But that's one third of what Paws and Souls is banking on. And so it hits a little harder that it's not as good as it could be. The game kind of like creates an expectation with its visuals, and it's fucking gorgeous. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how many times I stopped what I was doing while I was streaming it to take a screenshot. because I did. And I want to give them credit where it's due. The original key bindings are garbage pants, but they had it to where I could just go in and pull the button and set the key bindings to what I wanted. And I am 110% on board for that. That's always a great idea, and I appreciate it anytime a developer includes that accessibility feature. But just the more I pushed through the story, the more I was like, man, I don't like these characters. And it makes me feel bad because I could, like I said, I could definitely tell this was an instance of, you know, somebody's telling their life story and I want to be more invested in it, and I'm just not. But at least the game was pretty and the soundtrack is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, overall, $12 on it. What do you think?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The soundtrack is also beautiful, but that's two thirds. And the narrative is the other third. And it's a lot harder to be like, hey, you should buy it just because it's pretty, you know?
No.
So I am a little more hesitant to be like, I'll roll with it, try it. But just know that it's not the most solid narrative game. There's definitely better ones out there. But hey, if you're looking for something that's kind of pretty and mindless and you can just explore around as a wolf, then, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So...
All right, time for some SML After Dark action as we talk about Mr. Masagi Mayo Edition, developed and published by Green Lava Studios. It released July 24th on Xbox One for $4.99. This is a two-pack game which includes Mr. Masagi, a dating simulator where you get massages, and My Name is Mayo, a clicker with an emotional mayonnaise-related story. Cole, what the fuck?
Why are you coming at me? This is SML After Dark. That's Aki's territory. Oh,
you requested
right.
This for reasons I can't comprehend.
I played this one.
Wow.
This one was Aki.
This one is ridiculous.
I absolutely love the humor in this game. I don't know why, but it was so stupidly over the top that I couldn't. Oh, I know why. Do you want to know the main reason I requested it?
No.
There's an achievement with a reference to my favorite movie. And I was like, I've never seen an achievement with a reference to The Crow before, and I have to have it now. And it was a relatively easy completion. That didn't hurt either. But I had so much more fun with it than I thought I was going to have.
Well, there's two games in it. Let's start. What is Mr. Masagi?
Mr. Masagi is a story about a man named Johnny, as he is wont to be. And he is using a dating app called Linger. And you get to swipe left or swipe right on ladies. And then you get to go on a date with them if you match. Now, there's some caveats to going on the date. You don't just get to go because you swiped right. You have to have the right amount of experience, and you have to have the right profile picture. And it never hurts to look at the info at the dating profile, so you have a little bit of information before you go into this, so you don't choose some of the wrong options, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. You'll get a little profile picture, and then it tells you how many stars of experience you need. Once you match with somebody, you start off with a lady named Rial, and her friends call her Tuto for short.
Tuto, you get it? Rial.
Yeah. So she's your first date. You don't need any experience. You meet her at a shrimp restaurant, and you have to, at this point, it just like devolves into a normal visual novel dating sim type of option. So she'll say some things and then you respond. And if she likes what you said, you'll either get a massage times one, times two, or times three. By the end of the date, if she doesn't fly off and just ditch you because you suck, or you don't dip because she's weird, which can happen, and I'll get to that in a second, then if the date goes well, then you unlock a massage, and the screen comes up and tells you to find a nice, comfortable location for your controller, like on the back of your neck. Press the button and enjoy your massage.
Yep.
I like where this is going.
Okay. And then at that point, you just get like a screen with like various, very T-rated friendly, images of the girl in different like blowing kisses type poses and shit like that.
Yeah. We'll point out again, this is T-rated. So this is not really SML After Dark. As a joke.
Yeah, I've definitely played a lot worse. But, you know, and your controller vibrates. And the better you did on the date, the more intense the vibrations. So yeah, there's that. That happens. You will go through a series of different dates. And look, the game is very much meant to be taken as a joke. There is one day, I'm so trying to decide whether or not to spoil these. I'm assuming there's probably screenshots that give them away already on the store page. One girl is very much a gold digger, and like she loses interest in you mid-date because she finds out you sell hot dogs. But then you do a dance contest and you win $500, so she comes back.
Oh, God.
She's like, oh, hi, you know. And then there's another one who is very interested in your jeans. And I don't mean your J-E-A-N-S jeans.
Okay.
But she's on a spacecraft. Okay. Are we keeping up here?
Yeah.
It is such a ridiculous game.
It's so over the top.
And that's not all, because there is a second game in this collection. Not only do you get the dating sim, you mm-hmm. get My Name is Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is this one?
Okay, so, my God. My Name is Mayo is... I just want to point out, My Name is Mayo is referenced very heavily in Mr. Masagi. There's a lot of references to using mayo as lube. But you gotta use
don't do that.
Stuff, not the cheap, low quality mayo.
Yeah, right? Fuck Miracle Whip.
There's even an achievement that references Miracle Whip. So, you know, as you click on this jar of mayo, the lid gradually starts to open. So I just want to point out, before I say anything else, there is an achievement for clicking this jar of mayo 10,000 times.
It is a clicker. So,
yeah.
You're familiar with clicker heroes, where the whole point of the game is to just tap the A button.
That's what you're going. We did the interview the other night, and I was literally just sitting here just randomly. I wish I had a turbo controller because my hand was so fatigued by the time I was done. But even still, it took me like 45 minutes, maybe an hour tops. And that was stopping and resting my hands and stuff. So it was very quick. But
I have just a turbo controller. It's fine.
Just because. You can't just like set it to turbo, though, right?
No.
Because you unlock a story as you are clicking. And you have to go in and set different bits of the story. I'm not going to tell you shit about story. There's about four of them that run in tandem, and you just unlock them in random order, and you have to go in and set it. But, like, it involves leopard print bikinis and mimes. And as you add the different story bits and click your way through those, the costumes on the Mayo change. There's a whole thing about going on a date with a bombshell. There's the crow reference. It was just
whipped cream bikini.
There's the whipped cream bikini. I mean, it is so over the top. And it's so ridiculous that I giggled the whole fucking time. This is not my genre of game. I wanted it for that crow reference, and I'm not even apologizing for it.
Wait.
But I had such a good time with it that it was just so unapologetic and goofy, and it knew what it was, and it didn't try to be anything serious. It was just like, no, you're literally hitting the Mayo, guys. Yeah. Okay, have fun with it, and they did. And I don't know why, but I enjoyed it so much. I'm a little sad I didn't get to stream it.
Quick question. What's the photosensitive seizure warning for?
When you take the one girl on the date to the club.
Fuck.
It's a little flashy. Yeah. That's probably the only time that it's problematic, too. I can't think of any other one that would do it.
But I can't really be like, hey, Mom, play this bit for me.
Yeah.
Why not? It's T-rated.
It doesn't have any nudity or anything like that. It's just more like...
I know how little my mom thinks of me at this point. I don't want to be lower.
I mean, you really want to get her opinion lower. Take the cow on the date.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. Two crazy games for $5. What do you say on this package?
It's an easy buy. It's not even a fuck it, why not? Because it's just so goofy and fun. That you're gonna regret if you don't get it.
I'm very sad you didn't say anything when I said this package.
I ignored you on purpose. I might be fucked up on some meds right now, but I'm not that fucked up.
Hooray. Next game to talk about is called 112th Seed, developed by Nerd Games and Slider Games, published by East Asia Soft, released July 29th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. In a future where Earth has become uninhabitable and food is so scarce that most of humanity has perished, take the role of a seed that could restore hope. Make your way through the last labs constructed to cultivate a plant species capable of surviving any environment. Solve puzzles, avoid traps, grow plants, and find an exit in this casual yet challenging pixel art platformer. Cole, tell us about 112th Seed.
I don't know what the fuck else I'm supposed to say, because you just gave it all away right there. Yeah, basically, humans fucked up the Earth. They dipped, but some scientists stayed behind, and were like, we're going to plant some seeds, and those seeds are going to save us. And then the seeds don't do shit. They don't grow. And the scientists are like, well, fuck, we goofed that up. And they grow into cryosleep. But they didn't entirely goof it up, because the 112th seed manages to bloom. But it's also weirdly sentient. And so it leaves its pot and goes on a trek through this space lab to try and wake the scientists from cryosleep so that it can save humanity. You have to just kind of like gather that all that's happening, because after like the initial opening sequence, it doesn't flat out tell you any of that. Like, if you don't pay attention to the opening sequence that, everybody's in cryosleep, then you could very much be playing through the game and be like, I don't know why any of this is happening. There's no dialogue beyond that. It's just a puzzle platformer. It starts off very simple. Get from one side of the room to the other. Easy peasy, right?
Yep.
But then it starts to throw in more complicated obstacles that you need to overcome. You'll need to move water droplets onto patches of dirt so that you can plant the seed and grow a flower so that you can reach higher platforms. You may need to push blocks around. You have to take into consideration that if you push a block and it falls too far and it lands on top of your water, that might bust your bubble. And then you don't have your water anymore and you can't complete the puzzle and you have to start all over. If you push the water itself too far and it falls three spaces instead of just two, well, it's going to bust. And you have to take that into consideration when you're trying to move things around. Super, super easy, but some of the puzzles do really kind of push its limits. I think a couple times I kind of broke them. Like, I didn't find out the proper way to do it, but I wiggled things around enough that I made it work to get out anyway, which I'm not mad about. It. Yeah, as long as like it's beatable some way, then I'm not mad. You know, I didn't ever feel like there was no point where I was like, shit, I need a guide. I can't do this. It's fine. You don't even have to, I think 30 levels is all that you need to do for the achievements.
Yep.
And I know that I went beyond that because I'm a good reviewer. Thank you. But the 30 levels was basically just like the first act. And I had only awakened one of the scientists by that point.
So there's a good amount of game here for $5.
For $5, there's quite a bit there. Now, I will say I do have one complaint, is that the visual style of it, because it's soaking in that retro 8-bit pixel look, we know how I feel about that in the first place. But it was tolerable enough, except that the color palette they had used sometimes meant that it was kind of hard to tell the difference between, yes, I can walk on that, and no, I can't. So I would have liked that they had, and I get why they did, it made it look all spacey and futuristic, like a lab in space. You know, I get it. But from an actual puzzle solving standpoint, it would have been nicer if it was a little clearer. Now, one thing that they did do, you heard me say earlier, where like you can move things two spaces, or if it fell three spaces, you were kind of fucked. In a lot of the earlier levels, you can see, especially right there in the lab that you just put on screen, you can see where there's like notches on the walls. And that's kind of to give you an idea of how much space the blocks are going to take up or how far something is falling, so that you don't drop it and ruin your raindrops or you get a better guide, a little bit of a visual guide for where things are going to fall. So that was really helpful. But yeah, it's some of the room's color palettes are a little, they leave something to be desired as far as making things visible. But at least they have the notches and those do help.
The one screenshot on the Xbox store has a PlayStation button on it.
Not even surprised.
Has a square button on it.
Not even a little bit surprised.
Oh my lord. All right, well, $5, what do you think of this one?
I think it's a fuck it, why not? I mean, it was actually really solid. It's, like I said, I had to brute force some of them because I don't know what I was doing, but whatever I was trying didn't work properly, and I figured out ways around it and didn't give a fuck. It's one of those games that it's a solid achievement gamer score horror game, but it's also solid enough that you could just sit down and play it as like an in between some other shit to kind of as a palate cleanser. So nice. Yeah. I'm fine with a fuck it, why not on it.
I can agree with you on that. It's fun, it's adorable, it's $5, and it's an easy 1,000. So this East Asia Soft is getting to be like Radleika, where they're just fuck it, why not?
Yeah, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, can't be mad at it.
Yeah, not mad. No, it's not something that like I would wish list on Steam and pre-order and have to have it now. But, you know, hey, it's there. I got $5.
Yeah, this is one of those games that you're just browsing the store late at night and you see it for $5. You see it's a cute little indie game. You hear that it has easy achievements and you're like, yeah, why not? Let's do this. I got a half hour to kill. Let's do this.
I think I played it at like 3:30 in the morning one night and I was like, oh yeah, cool.
All right. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Starlit Adventures, developed and published by Rockhead Studios, released July 31st on Xbox One as a free to play title. Help Bo and Kiki, the Starlit, to find and return the stars that Nuru has stolen from the sky and hid across the lower lands. Go on epic adventures that will have you explore fantastic worlds, fight nightmarish creatures, collect dazzling treasures, and solve brain-teasing puzzles using an array of special suits. Cole, tell us about Starlit Adventures.
I mean, I don't think I would have called them nightmarish creatures.
No, it's pretty adorable. It's
very much a kid-friendly game. It's easy enough, kids can pick it up and get started on it, and it's adorable. I mean, even the monsters that are flying around on fire, you're like, oh, let me hit you with my arrow. And that's that. That's all there is to it. It is a vertical... I don't know how to quite describe... It's all vertical gameplay. You're basically going down for the most part.
Like Dig Dug style.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Driller, where you start at the top and go down.
Yeah. You do occasionally use, you can get a suit that lets you fly. And so you can go back up if you have that suit. Now, the suits are where things get problematic for me. The game is free to play, so there has to be microtransactions. And the suits are where those come in at. And for the most part, you can play the game with the basic suit and do okay. If there is a level where you need a certain suit, like some of them can't be passed unless you're using a specific suit, those levels will let you have that suit free to play anytime you play that level, which is good.
Yeah.
But if you're going all out and you need to get, or you don't need to, but if you want to get all three stars on some of the levels, you need to have a suit that isn't one of the free-to-play ones for that level, and then you're going to have to cough up money. Now, you can earn the currency, the tokens, in-game, but it's slow.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit of a drag. Leveling up is the best way to go about it, and even still, I oftentimes found that I either didn't have enough for whatever suit I wanted, or I... lost my train of thought.
Proud of you.
Gone. My brain went, hey, it's raining. And it, like, everything else just fell out. but like, there were a lot of times where I either didn't have the money, enough tokens for the suit that I wanted, or I didn't want to spend the tokens that I had when I had two suits already and could make them work, even if it meant not getting three stars. So I had to balance, like, do I really want to pay for this completion? And ultimately, no. Kind of won out. As a free-to-play game, I it's perfectly tolerable. It's fine. I could see the kids just sitting down and playing it and going through it. But I did find that when number three was playing it, she had less tolerance for not being able to pick what suit she wanted than the other two girls did. And given that the game very much looks like it appeals to a younger audience, that's kind of problematic. I would very much have been content to throw $10 at the game and just been able to use whatever suit I wanted whenever I wanted it.
Well, there is an option.
There is.
There is an option for $29.99 that unlocks all of the special suits and gives you a bunch of packs and tokens for the game as well.
Yeah, but I do think it's a bit high.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough suits and enough variation and enough reason to use them most of the time to justify that price. Like I said, you can very much play them all with the free suit or whatever free suit is allowed on that level and beat it and be fine. So the fact that, you know, it's like basically play to get the achievement, pay to get the achievement for three stars, I was a little more like, there's not enough to justify that. you know?
Yeah.
What there is adorable. There's a leaderboard for every level. Get fucked. I beat you most of the time.
Nice. Good job.
I am better than Joe. But, you know, I had a good time with it, but every time that I did only get 2 stars on a level, it was a little bit more of a dig, like, well, you could have got that third if you paid for it, bitch. You know.
So well, they gotta make money somehow, so.
They do, and, but like I said, I would have been happy to have thrown $10, maybe even $15 at it and been like, yeah, cool, let's go. But 30 is a little harder to choke down because there's just not enough suit variety to justify that price for me. Somebody else may very well feel differently.
Yeah, some well, people's parents- 15 bucks will get you 1,500 tokens, which will unlock a good chunk of characters.
Not permanently. Can you do them permanently?
The tokens, yeah.
Good. Oh. The ones that I did was like, use it on this level one time. I was like, oh shit.
No, once you unlock a character, like when you pay the tokens to unlock the character, it just unlocks the character.
Huh. I thought it was level specific, because there were times where I couldn't play certain characters.
Are those in the challenges? Because I know the challenges are character specific.
Maybe. Maybe? Yeah. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and
then,
look at it.
And then even in the challenges, there's three premium costumes that they aren't included in that $30. That just includes the in-game ones. There are three other premium ones that are $4.49 each. Those, the in-game challenges, you can use them for free in those challenges.
That's the bow and arrow one and the dino that I had unlocked.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah. Those are the ones that they included for the review.
The dragon and the dino.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, they helped. But still, there are times where you just flat out can't beat certain levels without having coughed up a little extra.
No.
I don't like when microtransactions are scattered like that. And then I never quite know what I'm getting and how long it's going to last for. And I just don't like microtransactions. Just charge me a price.
No. Well, as a free-to-play game, is this worth checking out?
I think it's worth checking out, at least. I mean, it's free. And there's some really good aspects to it. Like, the levels are really well designed. I did not expect them to look that nice. I mean, it's free to play, and it can be a little iffy. But the levels were well designed. I thought they were very cohesive, and I had a good time with them. And I know that number three was enjoying them beyond, you know, I can't use this suit when she'd yell at me. But otherwise, you know, it was a good time to play it.
Play some more tokens, Mom!
Yeah, she's out of luck. I don't get paid till Monday.
Oh, man. Yeah, I enjoyed the game, too. It's a cute little free-to-play game. It's worth checking out. It's free. Why wouldn't you give it a download and give it a play? You could get probably one or two or three easy achievements in the game. I forget what I got in the game. I know I got the one for getting all the stars in World 1 because I'm a boss.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, guess who sucks?
Yeah, well, I needed a suit.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Longer than I expected, but, you know, you girls are going to chat.
Hey.
I had a story to tell. It was worth it.
Was it?
And I got to talk. It is what it is. You'll get over it.
No, I won't. I'll never get
probably
over it.
Probably not, but I don't care, so it's fine.
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
I think I'm going to buy the Masagi Mayo thingy. That just sounds too funny. So, you got a sale!
I'm an influencer!
Yeah, but you influence people to do bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Do drugs, kids. Have a good night.